The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome back to part two of our live and local lineup here on 710 KNUS, where we take your calls all morning long at 303-696-1971. 696-1971. If you've been around a while, you know you need to get in while the getting's good because the phone lines do load up. And I always appreciate people who take the time to call in. You can reach us through the 710 KNUS app as well, text to studio. And I especially today invite those particular, sometimes regular callers into our station who have really become yes men for the mainstream media mantra about the so-called stolen election. Or I should say the so-called big lie about the allegedly stolen election. Or yes men about, Nine News and the Colorado Times Recorder now being the resources, the reliable news sources for what's actually going on in the city, particularly with Nine News this week, the Eric Coomer versus Donald Trump, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, Michelle Malkin, the Gateway Pundit, on down the list case that was happening for two very long days right there in the Mile High City, otherwise known as hell. It was a remarkable couple of days, and I was there. I will tell you all about it. Want to talk a little bit about the news reporting and the willingness of mainstream media types to just glom on once again to that mainstream message, not only about this case, what needs to be proved, how the legal system works. I'm always amazed when people who ought to know better are willing to comment on what people need to prove or what their motives are in doing certain things. And we're going to just dissect each and every piece of that as much as we can over the next 3 hours. 303-696-1971 is the number. And gosh, there's so much going on. I will not be here next Saturday. Very, very excited about the opportunity to go out, back out to California. Nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. The Claremont Institute is hosting their annual gala. And Claremont Institute is a think tank. My client and friend, Professor John Eastman, heads up the constitutional, I always forget the individual names of these subsections, but one of the constitutional sort of focuses that come out of the Claremont Institute. John is a part of that. But this Friday is a tribute and a celebration for Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who, in spite of being in Florida a couple of times recently and now being the Republican National Committee man for Colorado, I have yet to meet. So I'm very, very excited to not only see the tribute, hear him speak in person, but get to spend some time with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and my friend, Professor John Eastman. Matt Dunn from Backbone Radio will be holding down the fort while I'm gone. We may call in with a report if we hear anything new or exciting from DeSantis or from anybody else who is speaking that night. I will share it with you and, of course, give you the recap in 2 weeks when I return, assuming, I still have a job here. The other thing about that I found interesting about this Claremont Institute gala is that it was originally scheduled in Los Angeles. And because of Los Angeles just imposing these incredible, intense masking and vaccine requirements on private businesses, they said, to heck with you. We are out of L.A. County. They moved it into Orange County, and we'll be staying at this fabulous-looking hotel in Huntington Beach. And that's where the whole thing will be going on. And I was very, very happy to be and glad that I am on the Claremont Institute mailing list because they sent out an email in support of our own John Eastman. And I say that because, you know, you're going to get to know John very, very well when we file our lawsuit against CU for violating his contract and his rights to political speech and mischaracterizing things that he said and that he did. We'll be in the, I say we, but John, and I'll be at his side, I assume, will be in the press quite a bit as that lawsuit moves forward. But the Claremont Institute issued what I think is just a very powerful statement about the truth of John Eastman's participation and statements and behavior and the whole nine yards. And I'm going to share that with you here real quickly. I know we've got callers on the line. We'll try to get to some calls here in this first segment. Also, we heard from one of the Senate candidates on Georgia's show, Deb Flora. And last week we had Ron Hanks on this show. This week coming up here, just gosh, in about 20 minutes or less, we'll be speaking with U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland. And obviously we have an open door policy here for anybody from Michael Bennett, the challenger. Don't hold your breath. Wouldn't that be fun? To any of the, what do we have, 7 people now running for U.S. Senate here in Colorado. Love, love, love having those conversations. But let's get back to this this note, this release from the Claremont Institute regarding my friend and client, Professor John Eastman. Dear friends, the Claremont Institute does not normally comment on the work of its scholars, but a recent combined disinformation, deplatforming, and ostracism campaign requires us to make an exception. Claremont Institute senior fellow John Eastman, acting as counsel to the President of the United States at a critical stage during the 2020 elections in December 2020 and January 2021, offered legal advice that has since been maliciously, listen to this, mainstream media, maliciously misrepresented and distorted by major media outlets. Following this disinformation campaign, some professional organizations have imposed a blackout on the Claremont Institute or on John, making it very difficult to present the truth. The purpose of this statement is to correct the record and state the truth about 2 important elements of John's legal advice, and there's a link to more detail. I'll share this with anybody who texts me, wants to see this in person. John's legal advice, 2 elements having to do with the procedure of counting electoral votes in the presidential election. 1, contrary to almost universally false news accounts, which have done great damage, John did not ask the vice president, who was presiding over the joint session of Congress where electoral votes were to be counted on January 6, to, quote, overturn the election or to decide the validity of electoral votes. John advised the vice president accede to requests from state legislators to pause the proceedings of the joint session of Congress for 7 to 10 days to give time to the state legislators, to assess whether the acknowledged illegal conduct by their state election officials had affected the results of the election. And 2, if the state legislatures had found sufficient illegal conduct to have altered the results and as a result submitted a second slate of electors, John advised the vice president that, despite credible legal arguments to the contrary, the vice president should regard Congress, not the vice president, as having the authority to choose between the 2 states. The lies and the claims out there have been that John Eastman told the vice president that he could decide which electoral votes, which state legislator electoral vote groupings he could count and basically choose the president for himself, and it was based on things that happened with John Adams, and I'm not going to get sidetracked into all of that. Bottom line is, this is what the mainstream media does, and these are the lies that get repeated over and over and over, and we'll get into some of those lies when we play some of the 9 News coverage of the Eric Coomer versus Donald Trump trial that, or hearing, 2-day hearing that went on. Here in just a little bit. But let me finish up this note. Inspired by deliberate misrepresentations of John Eastman's advice on these legal and constitutional questions, various media persons and others have made false and slanderous statements about the Claremont Institute, our scholars, staff, and fellows. Despite such false statements and slander, truth can prevail in a democracy. As Thomas Jefferson said, when truth is not, quote, disarmed of her natural weapons, free argument and debate. Isn't that interesting? Because for all the people who say no proof, no evidence, It's over. Move on. Don't talk about it. Republicans running in Colorado. Man, you have got to stop talking about the 2020 election. And of course, they're not really out there doing that. It's the media that always tries to bring them back to that particular question. In fact, on the way out, George Brockler asked me, you know, how would you advise candidates to answer that question? I think we'll get into that here a little bit later on in the show. But disarmed of her natural weapons, free argument and debate, the quote from Thomas Jefferson. Remember, deplatformed Donald Trump. Facebook will put tags across any conversation about election fraud, results of audits, the legal challenges that are going on in Georgia and Michigan, the Dominion voting systems employee whistleblower out of Michigan, or, of course, what's gone on in Arizona, where up to 80,000 ballots now have been discovered that are extremely questionable, whether for signatures, wrong addresses, duplicates, just a host, a myriad of reasons. One county in a state that Joe Biden ostensibly won by 10 or 11,000 votes. 80,000 in question. Oh, but the audit concluded that Joe Biden had more votes than Donald Trump. No, it didn't. It concluded that in the recount, there were a few more votes, I guess, that showed up for Joe Biden. But that's just counting the votes. That's not challenging the validity of the ballots. So it doesn't recounting the same mess, recounting the same batch of, I think this analogy was heard at the Arapaho Tea Party on Tuesday, recounting $1,000 worth of fake bills, of counterfeit bills, still gives you $1,000 of fake counterfeit bills. Why will no one talk about this 60 to 80,000 questionable ballots? Well, they will in Arizona. This is still, again, the in-process, tremendous resistance from Democrats and establishment-style Republicans. And I know some people hate the rhino establishment term, but if the shoe fits, wear it. And those determinations, those decisions will eventually pan out and play out, and then maybe we will know some or more or most of the truth. But one has to ask, of course, if there's no evidence, if the election was so overwhelmingly for Joe Biden, then why at every turn are legal tools and censorship tools and misrepresentation, misdirection, lying tools being utilized to stop the inquiries? We're entitled as American citizens. It's written into our statutes and our process to verify the validity of elections. And Democrats challenge elections all the time. I guess it's okay when they do it, not so much with Donald Trump. And one more thing, and then I'll wrap up this letter, try to get in a couple of calls here. The whole idea of Donald Trump being someone we have to stay away from in Colorado, the name that shall not be mentioned, the election that shall not be discussed, just seems remarkable to me. No one during my lifetime has created the enthusiasm and crossed normal party lines with blacks and Hispanics and union workers and average Joe, you know, lunch pail Joes going to and from their jobs every day, and had those folks cross over party lines into the Republican Party than Donald Trump. Oh, but he lost by 13% in Colorado. Well, maybe if the numbers in Colorado hold up, I don't have any doubt that he lost in Colorado. But why doesn't anybody look at the fact that he actually got more votes in Colorado than Jared Polis, who became governor? Why don't we focus on those people who would be so excited about a fighter, someone who put their money where their mouth is? You don't have to run away from one of the most successful presidents in my lifetime. People don't like the personality, the mean tweets. Remind them to take a look at the gas pump and the empty grocery store shelves. It's just a fraud. It's a joke to put these constraints on people or think that you can't tap into that grassroots enthusiasm and put those people to work. And as the country continues to fall off the cliff of security and sovereignty and border security and inflation and out of control and perhaps soon to be greater debt and dishonest media censoring contrary voices. Use those for your talking points, right? It's just not that hard. All right, back to wrapping up this John Eastman response by the Claremont Institute. A campaign, well, we left off with Thomas Jefferson. Truth is not, quote, disarmed of her natural weapons, free argument and debate. Truth can prevail in a democracy when that doesn't happen. It's not happening right now because people will not allow the other side to be heard. And the letter continues and wraps up. Unfortunately, that disarming is now occurring. A campaign is trying to prevent the Claremont Institute or its scholars from presenting our views. This is coming from several fronts, including two organizations that exist precisely to air important political disagreements. The American Political Science Association, which effectively canceled our participation in this year's annual meeting for the first time in over 35 years. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? Unless they are afraid of people hearing the other side. And even more disappointingly, listen to this, the Federalist Society, which has refused to allow John, a Claremont senior fellow and highly credentialed law professor, to discuss essential constitutional questions. This is particularly galling given John's prominent role in the Federalist Society activities for the past 20 years. This is what's happening in America. These attempts to limit the Claremont Institute's and John Eastman's ability to express their views mark a dangerous escalation in the censorship now threatening American democracy. The Claremont Institute will not remain silent in the face of widespread lies peddled by malicious domestic political opponents. We welcome debate. And so should our opponents, and especially our friends. Sincerely, Ryan P. Williams, President, Claremont Institute, and Thomas D. Klingenstein, Chairman, Claremont Institute. I cannot wait to get to California on Thursday, meet these gentlemen on Friday, shake their hands, and thank them for standing up. Anyone, no matter your political views, except, of course, for the radical left that's in charge of the Democrat Party, in charge of Denver, Colorado, in charge of so much of the mainstream, as I refer to the corrupt, coordinated, Democrat-controlled media machine. No one, no just normal, average American, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, whether you like bigger social programs and you want to spend tons of money building housing for the homeless, or you think that people need to have a reason to get themselves put back together, whatever your position is on those debates, you should welcome debate. It shouldn't even be a question, should it? We've got full lines, and we didn't get to any of them. I'm going to go ahead and take the break now so we can get Eric Odlin, our U.S. Senate candidate, who's joining us at 9:25, in and out. Not that I'm going to rush him through, but I don't want to waste his time on hold. So everybody on the lines, you sit tight. We'll pick up with U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odlin when we return on Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS. We're back at 9:25. So good to have you along. 303-696-1971 when you can grab an open line, do, because we're going to get to a lot of your calls today. Really, I already mentioned how excited I am to meet Ron DeSantis, spend some time with the courageous folks running the Claremont Institute and my friend and client, Professor John Eastman. And I'm also looking forward to this coming Monday. Some of you know the name Jack Posobiec. Just a rising star in the political commentary world with an intense security background. And he will be presenting in Colorado on Monday at the Centennial Institute. And I get to have some dinner with him before that presentation. It's really looking forward to getting to know him. And certainly we'll make his contact information, see if we can get him on Wake Up with Randy Corporan when I come back here in a couple of weeks. So we'll talk with Jeff Hunt about that at 10 o'clock, just very briefly, in case you'd like to go. I don't think there's any charge or anything like that. Always love to support Jeff Hunt, Centennial Institute, Colorado Christian University. But right now, we've been trying to make our forum available, limited as it is, to people who are running for political office. Besides the governor, there is no other, you know, I guess I'm going to rephrase that. I was going to say no more important race. And in the hierarchy of power, I guess that's true. I am a big supporter of the belief that local elections starting there, these elections coming up this November, man, they need more attention than they're getting for school boards, for mayors, for city councils, and all of that. But, of course, governor and senator are on the table next year, well, next election, 2022. And I guess that is next year now. And can't keep track of the dates anymore. But we've got one of the now seven, I think, U.S. Senate candidates joining us. His name is Eric Odland. Eric, I finally made it. Here you are, and here I am. Good morning.
Good morning, Randy. Glad to be on your show.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I've always enjoyed our conversations, and you've been on before. And now, since the last time that you've been on, the race has really grown more crowded. I think we have about, seven people running for U.S. Senate. And I really love that. I mean, a dogfight is a good thing, and it gives people an opportunity to sort of distinguish themselves from the other. And this is your opportunity to do that this morning. So let's start out for people who are, you know, maybe just starting to pay attention. Your biography, your beautiful family, just so impressive. Please, 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 let's talk a little bit about that before we jump into the politics.
It's my favorite subject is my family. So I live in Jefferson County. I'm in Pine between Bailey and Conifer off 285. I have a beautiful home. It's rural. Three young children, a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-month-old boy. And a wife going on 15 years. Also a West Point graduate, did 2 tours in combat, Iraq and Afghanistan. And, you know, the Afghanistan issue hits me very deeply. But after the Army, I went into oil and natural gas, spent about a decade all over the country and all over the world, finished managing a $300 million pipeline construction project in Israel that made Israel a net exporter of natural gas, a huge game changer in the Middle East and for the country of Israel, a very proud accomplishment. But I've been all over the world leading teams to high achievement.
Yeah, and you really did your time. I mean, even as a kid growing up, didn't you finish school, graduate high school in Germany? And you just, because your dad was military, you moved all the time. So you were, in some ways, you know, sacrificing a normal childhood for your country. Then you did your 2 tours. You got very successfully into business with a young family. And now you've thrown your hat into the ring in what's going to be, you know, one of the most expensive races, political races next year, and highly contested on the Republican side. Why throw yourself into the middle of all that mess?
Well, I grew up in a family where service was the highest virtue, and I grew up wanting to follow in my father's footsteps. My dad retired as a major general in the Army, so we moved every 2 to 3 years growing up, and I continue to do that as an Army officer and then in oil and gas. But service was just core to who we were as a family, and it's core to me now. I mean, I do think that serving one's country is one of the highest virtues, and that's what I'm doing now. I think we're in a time of extraordinary crisis in many different respects, and I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. I believe that is under assault in an unprecedented fashion, and I am honoring that oath. This is not for me. This is not for power, prestige, or personal gain. I've done very well financially. I worked for every cent that I've earned, and I have skin in the game. I'm putting 6 figures towards this race because I love this country. Men and women throughout history have risked everything to preserve freedom and liberty. And if that's not under attack, I mean, it is. And I think if people don't recognize it, they're asleep.
Well, I certainly can't disagree with anything you just said, man. We are on a precipice here in the United States of America. Will we continue to be the home of the brave, the land of the free, and be able to self-direct our futures, our businesses, our families? Or are we going to continue this lurch to the left that over the last 10 months has been moving at an extraordinary pace? And so to have courageous people step in and step up is so critical right now. So let's talk about how you do it. Let's hold off on Bennett for just a minute. You've got a work your way through a now very crowded U.S. Senate field. Seven candidates, I believe, are announced now. So what's the strategy there? Or, you know, you don't want to give off your campaign strategy, I suppose, but how do you distinguish yourself from the others? How are you going to get the attention you need to become the nominee?
Well, I have to get in front of people. I think people need to recognize that I'm distinguished. I'm the only combat veteran in the field. So I've had my character and mettle tested on the battlefields of Iraq and Afghanistan. I've also spent a decade understanding energy policy. I'm an expert in the energy sector. And I have led teams all over the country and all over the world. In the toughest circumstances. So I think that distinguishes me already. But I'm coming in with no name recognition, with not a lot of money behind me. I mean, and there is a significant uphill climb. It's a very steep learning curve to accomplish this. But I think what is most important that I want your audience to understand and those people I connect with, I'm not doing this for myself. I never designed my life to run for political office. I'm not a career politician. I've never run before. I'm doing this in service to my country. And it's with three young children at home. We know what the radical left is going to try to do to me and my family. I'm doing this for a higher purpose. I do think that we're at a crossroads. In one direction, we've got this progressive movement, which is now embraced a socialist, if not communist, future. But I still believe in that shining city on a hill that Ronald Reagan talked about. But we have to come together as an American people and as Coloradans to build that shining city on the hill. We know what policies serve the American people and serve the people of this great state. We've got to make it known. In terms of my strategy, it is working extremely hard to get in front of people. When people meet me, they recognize my sincerity. They recognize that I'm doing this for the right reasons. I'm not doing it for personal gain. I never really desired to be in this arena, but I can't avoid it. I can't look my children in the eyes 10 years from now and say that I did nothing in this time of generational crisis. I mean, I think this crossroads. I think if America, if we lose this battle to preserve the Constitution and our founding principles, the world loses out. The world goes dark. And we are the last beacon of freedom. You see that all over the world, Randy, with people waving American flags and protests, these tyrannical vaccine mandates. People are looking to us for leadership to stand up now and reject a move into collectivism and totalitarianism that is starkly on display.
Talking with U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland, Odland. The website is odlandforcolorado.com, odlandforcolorado.com. Texter just texted in. People are listening intently. Lines are full. Good morning. His comments on his experience were confusing a little. Is he in the military as a leader and in oil and gas, maybe in the reserves? I know your background, so I wasn't confused, but just real quickly, maybe clarify exactly where you're at, what that progression has been.
Certainly. So I graduated from West Point in 2002, not long after 9/11. Then I was commissioned as an Army officer. I spent about 9 years in the Army, did two tours. I was a tank platoon leader in Iraq, and then I commanded a striker reconnaissance unit in Afghanistan on the border of Pakistan. Then I left the Army in 2011, went into oil and natural gas with a company called Noble Energy. I did a series of positions all over the country, finished up managing the onshore construction of a project called Leviathan in the Mediterranean. As I mentioned, it made Israel a net exporter of natural gas. Left my company at the beginning of last year. I finished up a master's degree. Was focused on raising a family, and I was actually on a PhD.
Yeah, and I don't want you to repeat the whole thing again because we've got other things to talk about. But I think you've made clear the distinction between, and people can go back and listen to the podcast if they want to, or just go to your website and get more details about your background. You said something to me that was very Trumpian. I mean, you went to Israel and through your efforts in this Leviathan, I think you called it, project, made Israel a net exporter of natural gas. Gee, Donald Trump did the same thing in America. And look how quickly the policies of Michael Bennett and Joe Biden took that away.
Yeah, I'm appalled right now because I spent I've spent two decades both working to make our nation more secure, and that was erased overnight by this disaster in Afghanistan. The world is now a more dangerous place. Our enemies are emboldened. We've turned over $85 billion worth of equipment that's going to fall into the hands of countries like China, Iran, Russia, et cetera. The Taliban is more powerful now overnight. So I'm devastated by what's happened there. It's a disaster. It should not have happened. It didn't need to happen. The same can be said about our energy independence. I worked tirelessly to help make this country energy independent, to help make Israel energy independent. And the policies of the Biden administration have destroyed that at the flip of a switch. And look at the price of natural gas. Average Americans are going to struggle to heat their homes this winter, and that should never be the case. I'm infuriated, Randy. This is unbelievable.
It is outrageous. And in the time we have left with U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odlin, let's turn to some of the politics. We hear over and over from the mainstream media, they'll always hammer Republicans to try and lock them into a position on Donald Trump and on the election. I think people are far more interested in hearing about the plans, the policies, the vision that potential leaders have if we do elect them into office. But what's the most difficult or troubling question that you've heard on the campaign trail so far, and how did you deal with it?
I would say that in every group I speak to, and I'm getting all over the state talking to conservative groups, but there is a lot of concern about election integrity. That is the most common question I get asked. And I think that there is reason to question the 2020 election. There's significant reasons to call it into question. And the fact that, as you mentioned earlier on the show, that dialogue is not allowed to occur, that they are censoring those questions on social media, that the mainstream media is clearly distorting the efforts to uncover what happened in the 2020 elections, the obstruction is significant. And the American people do deserve an answer. They do deserve free and transparent elections. And that means allowing audits to occur. That's our right. And so when there's such a great effort to obstruct that, you have to question why. And I do question why.
Yeah.
And I do demand the answers just like everyone else, and that's reasonable. That's part of our democratic process in a republic.
Well, yeah, I'm very glad to hear you say it and say it that way. And since that was the topic that you chose in response to my question, when you're getting and we're going to rip apart 9 News coverage of the Eric Coomer versus Donald Trump defamation trial here before this show is over today. But when you get that gotcha question and you know that they're just going to soundbite and edit whatever your answer is, you're not going to get a chance to say, hey, if the election was so free, fair, and overwhelming, then why are they obstructing us in every state where we're just simply trying to exercise our constitutional and legal statutorily protected right to check into the results of an election? What's your short answer to that question? Sounds like you've given this some thought.
Well, it's not a partisan issue. It's not just a Republican issue. I mean, heck, the Democrats contested the 2016 election, and they still do to this day. And Stacey Abrams is still claiming she's the rightful governor of Georgia. The American people deserve answers. They deserve
absolutely.
To have confidence in the election. Otherwise, we don't have a republic. We have to have confidence that our leaders are duly elected. And there should be no reason we can't look at it closely. I mean, I read something on Twitter that said we spend more time reviewing a touchdown in a football game, an NFL football game, than we do reviewing our elections. That's absurd.
Well, that's great, Eric. I just love that. George asked me, George Brockler, on his way out. Happy birthday, George, by the way, if I didn't say that already. On his way out, you know, what do you suggest? Not that everybody asks me, but what do you suggest how people answer that? And you mentioned Stacey Abrams, and I've been thinking about the perfect short answer that they either play the whole thing or they don't. And I think Stacey Abrams fits in there. You know, when Stacey Abrams stops complaining about her election, and when Democrats and some Republicans stop opposing efforts to just simply audit the election, I'll stop talking about it and then move on. You know,
I mean, if I was CEO of a major Fortune 500 company and the board of directors said, we're going to audit your financials, and if I tried to stand in the way of that as a CEO, they would fire me, right? It's just like shareholders deserve a right. They have a right to know that their company is operating above board and to show the financials. In the same way, we deserve that as American people with our election system. I think that there should be regular audits of the system to confirm its integrity. This is not a partisan issue. This is not about Donald Trump. This is about the foundation of our democratic process. And if we don't have confidence in our elections, and polling suggests that most Americans don't, then we've got to fix that and we've got to address it. We don't need to make it about any one person. We don't need to make it about Donald Trump. We need to make it about ensuring we have the right process and the systems in place to ensure its integrity. And the fact is that if any censoring of that narrative is absurd, it's patently absurd, because of course I think that that is common to all people who are voting in this country, that they want to ensure its integrity.
U.S. Senate candidate Eric Odland. The website is odlandforcolorado.com, odlandforcolorado.com. And Eric, we're up against it. All right. Have you determined yet whether you'll be able to come see us at the Arapaho Tea Party meeting in November?
I'm going to be there, Randy.
Superb. Absolutely. Superb. So we've got an open door. We may get the chance to see gubernatorial candidate Heidi Ganahl as well. And, you know, we're not begging people to come, but we certainly love to hear from folks who want to. I think it's telling who shows up at places that, at least in Colorado, can still be considered controversial, like something like the Arapaho Tea Party. So I look forward to seeing you then, Eric. I know we'll be talking quite a bit between now and then. Good luck on your campaign. God bless you, sir. Thank you for your service, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks, Randy. God bless you. Pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
Better believe it. Eric Odland. All right, it's 9:43. We're late. We've got full lines. We're going to get to calls when we come back on 710 KNUS. Meow. Night prowler. I used to be a night prowler. Not so much anymore. I'm a night sleeper, just not for very long. Hey, it's 9:48. We got about 12 minutes to go until the top of the hour. Full lines. We'll jump on the calls. Many of you know I was in attendance, one of the participants, although mostly an observer, at the, I did get in trouble with the judge, at the Eric Coomer versus Donald Trump, Gateway Pundit, Michelle Malkin, Sidney Powell trial hearing on the anti-slap motions that have been filed by all of the defendants. And one saving grace of the whole thing, the schedule was turned on its head. We started earlier. We went later, past 6 o'clock on the second night, just to get it done. And I really commend the judge for the handling of the scheduling. We objected. Gateway Pundit objected to the arbitrary time limits that were given, because when you've got these broad sweeping claims of defamation and no real specificity about the specific statements, you need an opportunity to dissect those for the court. But on the other hand, I think the thing could have gone all week. So since the court had already imposed, and I think maybe the 2 days that were agreed to were done before the current judge, Marie Moses, got on the case. Since those 2 day limits were imposed, the way she managed the courtroom allowed this thing to get completed within those 2 days. I really thought it could have gone much, much longer. So can't wait to talk to you a little bit about that, my sort of view of what happened and how I got in trouble with the judge, even some thoughts on this judge that may surprise you. And we'll do that in the 10 o'clock hour. Right now, I promised to get to some phones. Let's start with Jay, who wants to talk about Senate candidates. So, Jay, welcome.
Good morning, Randy. How are you?
Morning, sir. It's good timing since we just had Eric Odland on. We had Ron Hanks in last week. Our own Deborah Flora just announced yesterday or Thursday about her U.S. Senate run. So what do you have?
Well, I'm just delighted to see fine Americans stepping outside the batter's box. If you're a baseball fan, you know a good hitter steps outside the box before he's going to smack the ball hard. So they are absolutely – the guy that you just had on was phenomenal. I don't know anything about him. I know a lot about Deborah. And I'm just absolutely delighted to see people stepping up to try to take the position, because it needs to be had.
Yeah, isn't it exciting when just quality, not career politicians, not people who've been trying to build their political profile for years or decades and now think they're ready to step into this race. And listen, I'm not going to diminish someone who has – it's good to have won a school board race or a state race before you jump into a national race. There are some benefits to that. But I love when citizens say, good God, enough is enough. And if not me, who? That is courageous.
It is, and I had the good fortune of being around Mr. Armstrong, who was a real, ball carrier here for many years. I don't know if you're from this area, but I think a lot of him, and we need that type of senatorial support from Colorado.
Yeah, I've had the great joy of spending time with Bill Armstrong. We weren't personal close friends, but I attended plenty of events where he was a speaker. I'm a Denver native. So he was a powerhouse. They don't make them like him anymore. And we need to get back to that. And so it's good to hear people of principle. And it sounds like the last two candidates that I have had on, people who are simply not afraid of the media or the attacks that are coming their way. They're just ready. Bring it on.
Well, they're not bureaucrats, and they aren't socialized long-term employees of the state, and they're not geared, the people that I've heard, at least in the last 2 days on your station. They are not set up to take our money and send it somewhere else. They want us to keep things balanced. I get government. You have to have come and go. You have to have give and take. But a registered bureaucrat is going to do nothing but, fleece all of us, and that's what's been going on.
No doubt about it. Do you have any particular favorites, or have you even heard from all of the candidates so far?
I just like Deborah, what she said. Frankly, she's a phenomenal person. I've listened to her on the radio as we fly around and drive around and so forth, and I just like the things that she says. And I also, all of my family went to Lowry. They were trained at Lowry Air Force Base where she grew up, because that was the finest avionics course and class and training center in the world. So my uncles from World War II flew in and out of there, became aviators, fought in all kinds of different things, and B-17s, 24s, you name it. And Lowry's now closed, of course, but it was an amazing facility.
Well, it's a great way to start the callers today, Jay. I really do appreciate it. It sounds like military service, or at least love of military, love and appreciation of military.
Just a contractor. I wish.
No. What I'm saying is it sounds like that's important to you and a Senate candidate.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
It very much so is.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you. Jay's line's the only open line we've got, 303-696-1971. One thing you would have to have if you're going to jump into these races is unbelievable stamina. And stamina starts with feeling good about yourself, getting your body healthier, getting more and more energy back into your normal day-to-day activities. And there's no better place to help you with that than my friend Dr. Julie McCallan at Cenogenics. I learned about her on Peter Boyle's show. Peter's been with her so long, and look at that man at 78 years old. Just energetic and sharp as a tack. And here's what they do. The body's stress response is meant to protect us from danger. High levels of stress over a long period of time weaken our ability to fight off illnesses and to feel happy and to be motivated and inspired. You can even get sick if you're not taking care of those most basic and important things. And Julie McCallan, team at Cenogenics, have pioneered the medical specialty of age management. Cenogenics will help you develop healthy coping strategies here in October, Emotional Wellness Month, to improve your overall well-being. And I am living proof. I got on the scale again before coming to the show. I've managed to stay under the 200 pounds. First time I've been under 200 in at least a decade, and I celebrated that milestone just last week right here on this show. Call them. They'll create a program designed specifically for you to help you focus, become stronger, feel in control of your life again. Call Cenogenics and schedule your consultation today. It's 20 minutes with Dr. Julie that will change your life. Whether you go forward or not, you will enjoy talking to this wonderful, wonderful professional. Their phone number, 720-387-3681, 720-387-3681. And if you're driving, you couldn't write that down, just check out their website. That one's easy, denver.cenogenics.com, denver.cenogenics.com. Let's get back to the phones now with Ferris in Cherry Creek. Good morning, Ferris.
Good day.
Good day. Turn off your radio, man.
I mentioned something. I beg your pardon?
Go ahead. We're hearing your radio in the background. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll get rid of it. I heard a woman the other day in talk radio say, where are the men? And she got so much response because we got all these mothers going to school board meetings pleading. And she had a good point. Where are the men? Where are the real men? What we need is a few good men. There will be no more elections. There can't be any more elections because of what has happened in Georgia Senate race and in the national presidential election 2020. So what do we do with no more opportunity to vote because it's all frigged? Election frigging is a combination of fraud and rigging. What do you think?
Well, we're not done exposing the frigging. I like the term, by the way.
Oh, I gave it to Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, he liked it. He repeated it, right?
Yeah. Well, good.
And,
all right. Well, here's we're up against the top of the hour, Ferris, but here is what we do. We keep fighting. We don't back down. We ignore the naysayers and the nattering nabobs who tell us we've got to run away from these issues, because the truth of the matter is, if you look around the country, and yes, that includes here in Colorado, people do not trust these election results. And so whether you are certain that basement Joe Biden really got more votes than anyone in the history of the world, and that Donald Trump, in spite of getting more votes, you know, what was it, 7 million more votes than he did when he was elected in 2016, lost this election by such an astounding margin, or the fact that he got more votes this cycle, 2020, than Jared Polis needed to win the state of Colorado. Whether you believe any of those things, good Americans, not the radical leftists, not the people who've been controlling the Republican Party for the last quarter century and losing most of the time, but just normal Americans, understand that we are entitled to have this conversation. And the reason we're so suspicious is because they won't let us have it. They won't let us talk about it. They won't let us. They'll use the courts and every other mechanism they have to simply impede getting to the bottom of the actual results of the election. If there's nothing to be afraid of, then why aren't you saying, sure, come on, have a look. We'll stand there with you. We'll watch it. We'll prove that you are tinfoil hat-wearing morons. And if that could be proved, I'd be the first one to admit it. But that's not the way this is going to turn out. I believe that with my entire heart, and I encourage people to be courageous in talking about it. Yes, even here in Colorado. Not that it's your topic. Not that that's how you, the idea that you utilize to get elected. But if you're asked, go there and then get back to the ways you're going to make life better for everyone here in the state of Colorado. It is just not that hard. Ignore the people who read and talk but don't do anything. Ignore the people who've been running the party for a quarter century into the ground. And whatever you do, stay here. Ferris's line is open, 303-696-1971. We're going to do a quick hit with Jeff Hunt from the Centennial Institute to talk about his guest, Jack Posobiec, the details from inside Antifa, stories from inside the Black Bloc. That will be the topic of the lecture on Monday. Can't wait for my dinner engagement with Jack and Jeff and everybody else. You stay with us on Wake Up with Randy Corporan, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.